From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the previous few broadcasts, Dr. Cairns has been looking at Genesis chapter 21 as he continues a series of studies in the life of Abraham. As he considers the events surrounding the birth of Isaac recorded in this chapter, Dr. Cairns is following the theme of the focus and the fruit of Abraham's faith. The first consideration was the trust of Abraham's faith. In the New Testament commentary on this passage, the Apostle Paul wrote that Abraham staggered not at the promise, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Simply put, Abraham believed that God would do what he promised to do. Now we come to the second emphasis in Genesis 21, the expulsion of Hagar, or the test of Abraham's faith. In approaching this portion, Dr. Cairns first explains the ways in which the passage and its New Testament counterparts in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 4 have been misinterpreted. He'll come to the message shortly. First, here is a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Honor God. The text is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor. Do I make the honor of God the great object of my life and the rule of my conduct? If so, He will honor me. I may for a while receive no honor from man, but God will Himself put honor upon me in the most effectual manner. In the end, it will be found the surest way to honor, to be willing to be put to shame for conscience' sake. Eli had not honored the Lord by ruling his household well, and his sons had not honored the Lord by behavior worthy of their sacred office, and therefore the Lord did not honor them, but took the high priesthood out of their family, and made young Samuel to be ruler in the land instead of any of their line. If I would have my family ennobled, I must honor the Lord in all things. God may allow the wicked to win worldly honors, but the dignity which He Himself gives, even glory, honor, and immortality, He reserves for those who by holy obedience take care to honor Him. What can I do this day to honor the Lord? I will promote His glory by my spoken testimony and by my practical obedience. I will also honor Him with my substance, and by offering to Him some special service. Let me sit down and think how I can honor Him, since He will honor me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Testament commentary on the central event in Genesis 21 is found here in Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read this together. Galatians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 21. And you'll notice to whom it is addressed. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own inspired and infallible Word for His name's sake. Genesis 21 records for us three great events, each one of which brings us to consider a particular aspect of the operation of Abraham's faith. The first event is the birth of Isaac. The second event is the expulsion of Ishmael, Abraham's son, by Hagar, the bondwoman. And the third event, which comes in at the end of the chapter, is Abraham's covenant or pact with Abimelech and his time of rest in the land of the Philistines. Now, as I say, in each of those three events, there is a particular reference to the operation of Abraham's faith. In the birth of Isaac, we see the trust of Abraham's faith. Now, when we come to the expulsion of Ishmael, that's what Paul was speaking about in the passage we read just now, we will see the trial of Abraham's faith. Remember the story. At the happy festive occasion of the weaning of Isaac, this was a big event in that society. Probably when Isaac was 3 to 5 years old. But at that occasion, we are told Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, was found mocking, or as Paul says, persecuting Isaac. You must not think that he was merely passing innocent jokes. That was not the case. The famous German expositor Hengstenberg pointed out, from the name of Isaac meaning laughter, that this was a birth and this was a child that caused laughter, the laughter of joy in heaven. And when Ishmael saw that, he could not enter into the rejoicing, but he began to mock. Probably this had been going on for quite some time, and it came to a head on this public occasion, and Sarah noticed it. You don't need to have a great imagination to think of the kind of jibes that Ishmael would have been making. But certainly they were of such a nature as went to the very heart of the covenant of God and the promise of God through Isaac. This child with the name Laughter was given as a bright beam of good news, not only to Abraham and to Sarah, but through them to the world. He was given as God's proof of His mighty fulfillment of the promise to provide salvation in the promised seed. And of course, just as has always happened, Ishmael mocked, jeered in unbelief, this feeble, feeble, puny little baby, and this is the vehicle of divine promise. Heaven rejoices over this. Only God knows, for He has not revealed it to us, exactly the words or the actions that Ishmael took. But as I suggested last week, his depraved hatred would really know no bounds. And there was probably nothing that he would not have ended up trying to do to eliminate this hated child. When Sarah saw that, she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for he will not be heir alongside my son. Cast him out." We read in Genesis 21, in verse 11, that the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. But the Lord came, and the Lord said to him, "Hearken to what Sarah has said, do what she has said, and cast out the bondwoman and her son." And so he did. There were very many important lessons that the Lord had to teach Abraham here. There were lessons of doctrine or theology, lessons of practical importance. The Apostle Paul, in the portion we have read together tonight, has given us the New Testament interpretation of Genesis 21 and the expulsion of Ishmael. I suppose when you read the passage tonight, if you were paying any attention, you'll have said to yourself, this is not easy. At least if you think it's easy, I'll be very, very happy, not to give you the pulpit because I reckon you'd get it wrong, but I'll be very happy to listen to your easy explanation. This is a passage that I have discovered more murkiness about. Usually, brilliantly clear and lucid commentators are brilliantly unclear on this one. And yet, it is so vital. In some ways, I think you can take the whole message of the book of Galatians and say, it's encapsulated here in this one paragraph that we have read tonight. I'll go further and say, you can take the entire teaching of the New Testament and the Gospel on law and grace, and you'll find that they are encapsulated here in this passage of Scripture, if it is probably or properly understood. And yet, obviously, from what I've said, it's not very well understood. There are some people who get around the difficulty by spiritualizing it. Now, this sounds strange. Here we have a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. It is spiritualized in the New Testament. And the interpretation of it is given to us in this very passage. But because it's difficult, there's a class of interpreters who come along and they spiritualize the spiritualization. And they will tell you what it means. It means the two natures in the Christian. And they go on talking about the persecution of the new man by the old man, and the tension, and how it must be expelled, and it will not be properly and fully done until the glorification. And whatever amount of truth there may be there, it's not what this passage is all about. Then there are others who try to stick with the text, and they'll tell you what they think it means. They will say Hagar means the law. They may mean the covenant of works. Or they may mean the Mosaic economy. And Sarah means grace. And they go on to tell you at great length how that the Mosaic economy was an economy of works. It was an economy of law. It was an economy of slavery, that it only produced slaves. Many young preachers, and older preachers too, like to study the comments and the commentary and especially the literal translations of Kenneth Wiest. Wiest puts it bluntly. Paul speaks of the covenant of law that was given at Mount Sinai. This is allegorically identified with Hagar. This covenant places its children in a condition of bondage. And I can go on quoting others who say much the same thing. Even Matthew Henry's commentary. And I have to say, of course, dear Matthew was in heaven at this time. It was the work of a team of other people, and I would hope that Matthew himself would have been a lot clearer than those who wrote in his name. But even the great Matthew Henry's commentary struggles toward the light, but it is really somewhat confused. One of the great preachers of the Free Church of Scotland, a great covenant theologian, is even more confused. And he goes on and he tells you plainly Hagar, in the apostles' view, typified first Mount Sinai in Arabia, and secondly Jerusalem as it then was. In other words, she's the symbol first of the legal dispensation, and secondly of the Jewish church under that dispensation. Then he goes on to make this comment. For whatever may be the meaning of the old economy spiritually apprehended, by that he means whatever a spiritually instructed person may be able to see of the gospel in the old economy, the law of Moses was practically to the nation at large a method of salvation by works. That's a Presbyterian. One of the most brilliant Presbyterian theologians Scotland produced in the last century. But it's all wrong. All totally, absolutely wrong. When I say absolutely wrong, I am not denying there is a reference to the Mosaic economy or to the covenant of works that gets in there, as it were, on the next stratum. But the very surface meaning is something altogether different. Let me make some things clear before I tell you what this does mean. The Old Testament believers were not slaves. The very beginning of this chapter tells you they were children, they were like children, under a tutor. Now, children who were under a tutor, I mean, even this is true today in the lax society that we have. When you're under a schoolmaster, especially a tough one like Mike Barrett, you feel like a slave at times. You don't have the liberty you're otherwise going to have. The Old Testament believers, Paul tells us at the beginning of Galatians 4, were like the heirs. They were the children of promise, but they were under a schoolmaster. And at times, to the outward view, it didn't look that they differed much from a servant. But there was a basic difference between the Old Testament believers and the spiritual children of Hagar. The spiritual children of Hagar did not belong to the promise. The Old Testament believers did. That's enough in itself to tell you all these usual interpretations of Galatians chapter 4 toward the end of the chapter miss the point.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.